Good morning. Today is Palm Sunday. It's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem that sets up the stage for the week of the Passion and his crucifixion, resurrection. Next Sunday, Easter, praise God. So in Luke 19:28, I want to read just a short passage that kind of describes the scene. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, which no one has ever set. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to him, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw on their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all their might. With all their might and works that they had, rejoiced and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had done. It was covered up, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" It's quite the picture. Jesus coming in on a colt of a donkey that had never been ridden before. It was the stage being set for Messiah entering Jerusalem. And the people were just going crazy because their Messiah was coming. Now, they didn't know all that meant, but they were excited at this moment. And they were so excited that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, says, "Get these people quiet. This is too crazy." And he says, "Listen, if they were quiet, if they were silent, the rocks would cry out." So I've heard Gay say before, "I don't want a rock to take my place from worship." Do you? I don't want a stone to be what is making praise to God when we are here and we have this opportunity now. Would you stand with me? Lord, we thank you, God, that we get to praise you. Lord, we have the opportunity, Lord. We have the privilege of praising you, Lord. And not from a place, Lord, of unknowing or unsure about who you are in our lives, Lord. We know you and you know us, Lord. So we praise you from that perspective. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus, for being our Savior. We worship you, Father, for sending the Son. We worship you, Holy Spirit, for being the one that lives in us and abides in us. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration and the glory that you are due this morning. Lord, let our voices be as those people on that day that were rejoicing that their Messiah was coming. Well, now our Messiah is here. Our Lord is here, Lord. So let our voices be strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, I want to challenge us this morning, because this song is meant, like many songs we sing, this is a declaration to our Father. You know, Pastor read a scripture about the rock singing louder than us. And I'll be completely honest, I think we need to get a little bit more excited about Jesus this morning. Amen. Palm Sunday, Jesus did such a miraculous thing for us. And I'm looking at these words, and as I'm singing, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you. And I'm just wondering if maybe some people in here believe that there's something better than Jesus. And if there's not, I want us to act like there's nothing better than Jesus. And I'm not looking for a show. Jesus isn't looking for a show. But I believe that Jesus wants to do something in your life today. And if you came into this place expecting for a change, a touch from God, you're going to get it if you receive it. But if you came into this place expecting to stay the same, you're going to get it because that's what you came in here with. So I want us to sing this. You turn mourning to dancing. And if I could just get a little bit of participation, that'd be great. Again, not for show. Because sometimes we need to do an outward expression of what's happening on the inside. Are you guys with me? You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Come on, you turn graves. You turn graves into garden. You turn bones into army. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Come on, you turn mourning. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves. You turn graves into garden. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one.
And now I am chosen.
Sing this over your life.
Why would I make a bed in my shame when fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. Yeah, I was made for more.
I sing hallelujah.
Sing out your praise and hallelujah. You bury my past, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You call out my name, so I sing out your praise and hallelujah. You bury my past, I'm not going back. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name and born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. And I was made for more.
Declare this over your life today, church.
And I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more.
Thank you, God.
So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
This paragraph in this song,
I was made for more,
speaks to how we hang on to our sin and we think that this is who we are. But when Christ comes and Christ brings forgiveness, we are not that anymore. And he wants us to declare that. This is a declaration of you knowing that God saved you, and you know that your Father loves you, and your Father will look at your enemies and say, they are not that anymore. When the enemy comes to destroy you and the enemy comes to speak against you, your Heavenly Father will say, they are not that anymore. They are mine. Yes. And that is what this song speaks to. And coming up on Easter season, we need to understand that Christ died for our sins. So why would we dishonor that by keeping them, by laying in them? Let him keep you free after he has set you free.
And I watched a clip yesterday. I like to watch these crazy medical things of they don't know what's going on and all that stuff. And this little girl got really, really sick, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. They ran tests. They did everything they could do. And the little girl was getting sicker and sicker, and she was almost to the point of dying. And they gave her something that kind of helped her come back a little bit. And one day, mom had her sitting on a stool in the bathroom, and she was combing her hair. And she got to one spot, and the little girl just screamed in pain. And when she looked at her hair, this tiny little tick had been embedded in her scalp. And mom pulled it out, put it in a jar to save it, and rushed her and the tick to the hospital. And they found out what was wrong with her. And they gave her the antidote that made her get better. Like all of a sudden, one morning, she woke up and she was back to her normal self. Can I tell you, that's how our life is when we allow the enemy to come at us. Sometimes he doesn't come with the big old, hey, I'm your enemy and I'm here to mess with you. No, he does it like a little tick. He gets in and he attacks something that you don't even know has been attacked yet. And it grows and it festers and it gets awful and it gets ugly. And before you know it, you're weakened. But can I say Jesus is the antidote? Jesus is the antidote for our life. And if we're going to sit back and expect him to, this is my life, Lord, can you please just touch it? No, he wants us to get out of our comfort zone. He wants us to recognize if we have to go to emergency, that's what this altar is for, people. Come forward and just claim it. Claim your freedom for Jesus. Let him be the antidote to everything that's been messing with you for far too long. Call the enemy on it. Let Jesus get rid of him for you, and let's move on in him because he is so worth it. Amen?
I'll sing this one more time. I wasn't made. So I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame with fountain of grace? Running my way, I know I am used. Yeah, I was made for more. The moon and stars, it wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was falling. His body on cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Sing one final breath he gave. One final breath he gave. As heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stones rolled away. Perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Stones rolled away. His reckless love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. He is alive.
hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Let us all come. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Let us all come. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. that we rise with him. Jesus, Jesus, yeah, he is alive. Jesus, Jesus, which makes me alive. Jesus, Jesus, yeah, he is alive. Which makes me alive.
Be a radical thought that, you know, Jesus didn't rise from the grave so that we could just sing about it on Sunday.
Yeah.
He didn't just conquer death so that he could say he conquered death. He did it for us so we would be made for more. So that we would be made for more. More than just, you know, crawling on the ground. More than just, you know, wallowing in our own muck. Made for real life. Real life. Life abundantly. Life that gives you life that you give to others. That's why he did it. Yes, we give him the praise and the glory and adoration that he's due, but he didn't do it for that. He already had it all. He was already worshipped by angels, by all the elders, every creature that ever been made. He didn't need us to worship him anymore. But we do because we're thankful. He did it so that we could be made for more. So that we could be his. And his life could flow through us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just start thanking the Lord for what he's done in your life. Thank you, Jesus, for making us for more, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering us, Lord, from death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. Not just saving us so we don't go to hell, Lord, but saving us, Lord, from this life. The thief wanted to come only to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came, Lord, so that we might have abundant life, life everlasting, life that flows from your very throne. Jesus. Jesus. Because of that, we can sing hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. Yes, we sing hallelujah. The Lamb upon the throne. Go ahead, Eric.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, let us all come. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, let us all come. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And because he's overcome, we overcome. We overcome all the things in life that try to steal, kill, and destroy God's work in our life. We overcome because he overcame. But we have to believe that by faith. We have to believe that it's a finished work, even though it doesn't sometimes look like it. Sometimes it looks like total opposite, but it's not the truth. It's an illusion. What the truth is that we are overcomers in Christ. And greater is he that lives in each and every one of us than he that lives in the world. Amen? Amen. God bless. Hug on somebody, love on them. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you, team.
All right, good morning, church family. Let's stand to our feet. If you're not already standing, we're going to do our declarations over the Yakima Valley as we continue to believe for revival for our city. And our church is going to be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's say this together in unison, believing for God to move mightily in our city. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my cities will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for our beautiful city, for our beautiful valley. We thank you, God, that we're not only a city that grows hops and grapes for wine and apples, God, but we are a city, Lord, of a great harvest to take place, God. We thank you, God, and we declare, God, your goodness over our city, over our valley, Lord, over every home represented in this place. We thank you, God, that you are blessing this place, God, and you are far from done with our valley. God, Lord, that you are moving mightily, God, in the houses of God in this place, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are bringing something new and afresh to our city. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.
Hey, Pastor Eric.
Yes.
Did you know there's a birthday in the house?
I did know there's a birthday. Whose birthday is it?
It's my sweet honey's birthday today.
Sweet honey. Let's sing happy birthday to Pastor Mike. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Mike. Happy birthday to you.
So the reason I interrupt you, I'm so sorry, but I had to go downstairs and start making lunch. No, it's already made, really. But everybody is invited to come downstairs for lunch with Pastor Mike. We're having, let me just tell you, we're having walking tacos. Has anybody heard of that? So delicious. You'll love them. And cake and all that. And so just don't plan on going out. Come on down. We're going to have plenty of food. And we're so excited to celebrate my sweet man. Thank you.
Praise God. He's a whole 25 years old. You could finally rent a car. All right, so this is our QR code for more information. If you're new here, or if you know somebody that you bring somebody and they want more information, or if you yourself maybe you're shy and you don't want to just come up with somebody, a pastor, or so you can ask for more information, ask to meet with a pastor. If you want to get baptized, if you want to be prayed for, that's what that is. Next, we have our Easter service next Sunday. All right, here's the challenge. I don't want to take much time, but I'm going to ask you everybody to pull out their phone right now. And if you have Facebook, go to Facebook. Okay? If you don't have Facebook, that's okay. You might be under the age of 35. One Life Family Worship has a Facebook
has a Facebook. And if you're not following it, I want you to follow it. And on that Facebook, there is a post made this morning that is this graphic. And I would like you to go and share that post. That's just one simple simple strategy for us to let people know, if you don't have a Sunday service, if you don't have a Sunday gathering next Sunday, we're going to be meeting here at 10:30. We're also having a continental breakfast at some point in the morning. And so if you guys could all do that, that'd be great. As well as, for those brave souls out there, invite your friends and family. If they don't have a Sunday gathering, if they have a Sunday gathering, we're not about stealing people from other churches. Let them go to their church. But if they don't, say, hey, come hang out. Our pastor's really funny and he's really good looking. Just tell them all those truths about our church. And he's really tall. That one is definitely true. And yeah, tell them to come, and it's going to be a great time. This is going to be, you know, obviously every Sunday we want people in church. However, what a greater day to come to celebrate our Jesus on the day that we're celebrating his resurrection. Amen? So if you guys can do that, that'd be great. And then men, put this in your calendars. On the 11th of next month of April, we are meeting for our men's breakfast here at the church downstairs at 8:30. We have been having such a great time. Our last one, we had such a great turnout. And so I would love to see all of our men and young men represented at our church. And then if you're not too tired of us, that night we will be having our house prayer at our pastor's home. And with that being said, if you would like to be a host home, obviously there's no pressure. However, we've been having some great times at the homes that we've been rotating through. And I would ask you to pray about being a host home. And like Pastor has said, this isn't, there's no obligation other than you opening your door. You don't have to provide a dinner. You don't have to provide coffee. You don't have to provide anything. You just have to provide a space for us to gather and worship. Okay. And it's going to be every other week. The dates are on there if you would like to pick one. And yeah, so just pray about it. Think about it. After Pastor's doing that, he's going to pass it around. Again, no obligation. But if you would like to, please do so. And then thank you for giving. Thank you for those who are giving and sowing into the house of God. Thank you for giving to your tithes and offering and praying into the house. And last but not least, if I can get the children up here so we can pray for our little children. Where's the crazy one? Where's the crazy one? Slowly, yeah. All right. If you guys can extend your hands and let's pray for our little children here. Father God, we thank you so much for these little spirits, these little souls. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in their lives. We pray blessings over them. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with them as they go downstairs and learn about you, Jesus. God, we pray you fill them up, God. Fill them up with your joy. Fill them up with your peace. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our children's ministry. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye, guys.
Bless you. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to say, we serve a living God, amen. And during worship, as you guys know, some of us may know, we're going through a tough time right now with our mourning of our nephew who passed away. You know, he was only 29 years old, you know, and through a tragic accident. But I just wanted to thank you guys for praying for us, praying for the family. You know, it's been a tough loss all the way around. We just Sydney just came home yesterday. You know, they received him. He is a tragic accident up in Alaska. But just wanted to thank you all for your prayers and just continue them praying for us. I mean, my wife's family is a large family, and you know, they have a lot of believers. They have some that have strayed away, and then some that just don't believe, you know. So I really wanted to pray for that, and especially during worship, you know, because we do believe as Christians the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives life. God's the says, you know, well, it's written in the Word that He's the God of the living. And that's what we stand upon, you know. And unfortunately, it takes these tragic accidents to realize our mortality. Where are we going to spend eternity? And those seem to be the questions that we've been getting a lot. You know, what happens? What happens? You know, we're blessed here to be in a believing church where a pastor shares the scripture, you know, and the message behind it is to implement it in your lives for circumstances like this, when rubber meets the road, you know, and people are looking for direction and they don't know. You see a mother's heart broken. You see a father's heart's broken. You see all of his loved ones all around. You know, what do? You know, his fiance who had a little bit of knowledge of Christ, you know, was hurting, you know, and, you know, my wife was there. She was surrounded by believers, you know, and that's the importance of believing in the Word. That's the importance of getting it rooted in your heart for tragic accidents like this and for situations like this. It's not just about hearing, but actually doing, making sure the Word of God is seated correctly in your hearts. Because it is hard, you know, and unfortunately, like I said, it takes situations like this that wakes us up, you know, where are we going to spend eternity, you know, and here's the map, you know, every Sunday we come here, the pastor gives the living word, you know, apply it to your lives, put it in your hearts, you know, Psalms 119:11, you know, in my heart I have your word so I may not sin against you, you know, but I want to thank you for praying and continue to pray for them because we serve a living God, you know, and, you know, the questions that we get, where is he at? Where is he at? You know, heaven, hell, all this and that. It's not my kingdom to say, you know, it's God, you know, but let's remove all doubt while we're here. You know, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure your heart's right with him. You know, let's remove all doubt while we're living. So we can mourn peacefully sometimes, you know. Pastor, thank you.
Gina, Adam, come on up. We're going to pray for you guys. We haven't had a chance to actually lay hands on you and just impart God's grace as you stand in for the family. Anyone who else wants to gather around them, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the comforter, Lord, of the brokenhearted, Lord. And Father, we just lift this entire family, Lord, the extended family, Lord, and even those, Lord, that are connected, Lord, through relationship with Sydney, Lord. We just ask right now, Father, that you would just touch hearts, Lord, in a significant way. Lord, and as Moses was sharing, sometimes people just say, why? Lord, you are the answer to that why, Lord. You are the answer, Jesus. So I pray that that answer would come to their hearts, Lord, that they would find you during this dark time. They'd find the light of life. Lord, we just release right now over Moses and Gina, Adam and Andrew and Katie, Lord, and Noah, all the family, Lord, who truly knows you, all the brothers and sisters who truly know you, Lord. Let them speak as oracles of God. Let them speak as representatives of God with truth and with a word, Lord, that would bring life, Lord, and bring healing, Lord, and bring hope. And we thank you, God, for their lives, Lord. We thank you for their ministry to their family, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to let them have inroads into their sphere in their workplaces, Lord, but also deeply in their families, Lord. Those that don't know you, Lord, let them be drawn, yes, by the love that they have for you, Lord, and let that love be extended to them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And I told Gina, and I declare this because it's been in my life this way. I'm not saying something, you know, I'm just quoting, you know, from some Bible verse and it's a good thing to say, but it's the truth. And it's really, if we can keep our eyes on Jesus, what the enemy has meant for evil here in this family's life and all these individuals' lives, God will turn the intention to good. In other words, he will make that enemy's intention of evil turn to an intention of good. In other words, good results will come. Lives will be changed. Hearts will come to another understanding of what the grace of God is and what it means to rest in his grace, during these times. I'm sure you guys are experiencing that, his grace during this time. You can tell when you're with other family members who don't have it. You can go, even though it hurts, you realize that there's something that you carry that is something to rejoice and be glad in. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good. And I'm wearing a very self-serving badge that Gay put on me. Actually, Emma put it on me, but it says it's my birthday. It is my birthday. And so I usually don't really care that much for birthdays because it's just another day around the sun, you know, that we celebrate. You realize that, don't you, that your birthday isn't. You've gone around the sun one more time. So I've been around the sun 66 times. I can't really tell you what the sun looks like other than, you know, because I just go around it. I don't get to actually experience it, like being in it in such a way that I get to, you know, see its face. But I am thankful that the Lord has given me more years of life. I was on the verge of death in 2021. I had a very severe blood clot that killed a small intestine of mine. And I really survived the surgery quite well. But what ended up happening is that because of the surgery, they put blood thinners in me, a lot of them evidently. And I bled out and I lost 4 units of blood. And I talked to some people in the medical field and I said, so what's like, you know, what does this mean? I mean, you know, I know that, you know, to me, I think there's 5 units that you have, 5.5 units, depending upon your size. And I said, so what does that mean? He says, well, it's a miracle. So I'm been given more years around the sun, praise God. And I'm thankful that I get to have the opportunity and the privilege to pastor a great group of people that are hungry for God, that desire all that he wants to do in their lives, and that they want to allow him to be their God, the one that they celebrate. So today we're going to continue our message on prayer, believe it or not. And I'm going to start with, maybe I'm going to start, maybe I'm not. Is it frozen? It's frozen. Praise God. Hang in a second. Yeah, it looks like the Wi-Fi may have went down. Okay, well, praise God. Nope, here it is. It's back. There we go. It's there. Okay. I was just going to get my Bible and cut loose, you know, but so we've been talking about the idea of being a house of prayer, houses of prayer for all nations. I believe that when the Lord gave this message to me on the last Sunday of January, that we were imparted something. It was a special service. And it's like God did like a confirmation by changing some of the music. Caden felt like to lead the music a little differently. And I shared like this opening message that was kind of off. It didn't seem like it was like it was super powerful, but there was a phrase in that. And the phrase was, why wait for tomorrow when you can have it today, is kind of like what I said. So he had changed the song to one of old Will Reagan's songs, United Pursuit. And he just wanted to do that song, not knowing that in that song, a very unusual line is, why wait for tomorrow when we can have it today? And the reason that that just pierced my heart was because it was like the sign the Holy Spirit was saying, this is what I want for this house. This is what I want for this body. I want you to be a house of prayer. If you're nothing else, be a house of prayer. Be a place, and this is us individually, be a place where prayer happens. And so, as I said, that morning I had made commitments and changes to my own thought process of what I was going to do in my life to sow prayer. And I've been doing it about 95%. There's times that I fall short in some of my own personal disciplines, but I have been going to places and I know prayer is happening. I'm praying with people when I have opportunity to pray. I'm trying to sow this in such a way that this produces fruit in us as a house. And so one of the things, and Eric shared about it, is our prayer nights. And they're not like every single night. You don't have to go to prayer every night. It's not even every Saturday night. It's right now it's every other Saturday night. So it's not my goal is not to wear out the saints. But I have to tell you, I have been at every single one. I know that Herman and Miriam have been to a lot of them. And I'm telling you, something is happening there. Like, I was different in my prayer time this morning. There was a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that just carried over. Did you sense it? I mean, it's not like we're just leaving a prayer meeting. And what about you, Tim, Vicky? I mean, something changed in you. So I'm like, okay, when's the next one? But we don't have to wait to the next one to receive that from God. But I'm just telling you, something is happening. And if you'll engage with prayer, maybe today something will spark in you and you'll go, oh, okay, I can just do this at home. Because you can. You don't have to wait till, you know, the 11th of April to experience God's closeness, because he's right here, right now, in each and every one of us as we're his children and we're his abiding place. So I want to encourage you, for those of you who have not been to a house of prayer, to come, please. Please come. Please come. Your presence will do something and change it. It's not like it's my thing, and it's not like it's you know a pastor's thing. It's just our hearts coming together. Yes, I mean, I try to help keep it, you know, moving and praying, but it's his body. It's us. And I'm just telling you, something is happening, and it's so cool. It's so awesome. The presence of the Lord was just sweet and precious last night. And I think it started because some of us were being very transparent and open about our struggles and how we want more of God and how we want to leave behind the status quo of our life. And we want to move into who God wants us to be. So we've been doing the Power of Prayer series. And so that includes the first message, Calling on the Lord, Heart of Prayer, Pastor Eric shared. Prayers answered. Disciples recognized the power of prayer. Asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Praying through the mess. That was Eric's talking about Jonah praying in the belly of the well and how that brought a great revival for a place that Jonah didn't want to go because Jonah was being obedient to pray in that situation. Purposeful requests, aligning your eternal reality. That's an acronym that the Lord gave me, which was really communicating prayer. It's not just us just, you know, talking to God and asking for a bunch of list of things, but it's us aligning with his will for our life and the will for others. So cool. And the house of prayer was that Sunday that I talked about, culture of prayer. Again, Pastor Eric sharing one Sunday when he couldn't find his iPad wouldn't show up his message. And he just shot from the hip and talked about how the early church had a culture of prayer, that they were centered around prayer. And then in agreement and in unity, that's part of the what we get to receive when we're in unity and when we're in agreement, God's blessing is poured out. And then I talked about, it's not just a house of prayer, we're houses of prayer. We literally are the place that God dwells and we become a house of prayer and it makes us houses of prayer. And then I talked about the idea that we are as incense to the Lord in our prayers, that even in the book of Revelation, at the last of the last days, when things are coming to a culmination, our prayers have been held there. And so, you know, there's so many dynamics. Last week, the Trinity of the transformation prayer, and that is where we are being encouraged in Colossians 4:2, I put it up on the board, to devote ourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful. And the whole idea is that we're watchful about prayer. We're thankful with prayer, and we're devoted to prayer. And it's like this trinity that creates a powerhouse prayer. And so I realized last week that I have not preached on this yet. What is prayer? What is prayer? Yeah, talking to God. I mean, we could probably all say what we think it is. But biblically, what is prayer? What are some truths that we can receive from the Word of God that maybe will help us have a different perspective when we pray? So what is not prayer? Let's start with that. Prayer is not a shopping list you ask God for. It's not a never-ending shopping list. It's not repetitive words or phrases, even though sometimes we use repetitive words. That's not just prayer. Prayer is a communication. It's talking to God. It's communicating things that are on our hearts. It's not twisting God's arm. We're not convincing God by praying enough to do something for us. It says that God already knows what we need before we even ask him. It's not earning God's love. We don't earn God's love by being good houses of prayer. By being at prayer every single Saturday when we have it, or at church every Sunday, or reading your word every day. You don't earn God's love by doing things. God's love is freely poured out. We receive God's love, and then as a response to that love gift that he's given us, we give back to him in service. We give back to him in devotion. We give back into him in us becoming more like him. It's not one of your spiritual checklists. Okay, I prayed this morning, got it done. It's not a performance for others to watch. It's not something that you do just so people will see you like the Pharisee did. I thank God that I fast twice a week, and you know, I'm not like that heathen down at the front, the guy beating his chest. We know that sinner, as he was called, was justified in the Lord's eyes because he was humble. And then it's not a magic formula or incantation. And there's many other things we can say prayer is not. So if prayer is not those things, in other words, if prayer is not just us throwing up popcorn prayers, you guys ever heard that expression, popcorn prayer? Thank you, Lord, you know, for this food, you know, good grub, good eats, you know, something like that. I can't remember we were at what the exact prayer was, but it took Pastor Ed Staton by surprise because it was like only three words, and it was like yummy for the tummy or something like that. And he's just like, is that it? And this was like an evangelist, you know, a prophet that did this. And so he's praying like one of his kids. But no, it's not about just praying for our needs, even though our needs are part of it. You know, give us this day our daily bread. But it's about us aligning our hearts with God. So in the Old Testament, it's communicated that prayer is like a plea. If we look at it, it says here that tefillah is the word that's used in the Old Testament for prayer. Most of the time when the word prayer is there, tefillah, or the Hebrew Strong's number 8605. And the literal meaning is feminine noun meaning prayer. The word is used to describe a prayer that was similar to a plea. And I would say that most people have probably thought that about prayer. You know, it's similar to a plea. We're asking God. We're communicating to him for needs. But there's more to this word. And the primary word for prayer, tefillah, derives from a root that means to judge. The reflexive form literally means to judge oneself. This is worlds away from the English word prayer, which comes from the Latin precari, meaning simply to beg. So in other words, prayer isn't just something where we just communicate to God this list, or maybe even it's a good list. Maybe it's a list for your family to be saved. And you're saying, I know these are God's will. He doesn't want any to perish. And it's, you know, those are good prayers. But it's also something where we're looking at ourselves. We're evaluating ourselves. We're examining ourselves. We're saying, God, What do you need to do in me to fulfill some of these things that I'm praying about? Maybe God wants to use you to help reach one of your loved ones or your coworkers. Or maybe God wants you to be used to give the love of God to someone in such a way that they experience God. We don't know what God has for us to do. So that's why it's necessary for us to judge ourselves, to judge our actions. Judge what we said that day. Judge what we're saying to someone. Maybe right at the moment, the Holy Spirit says, son, this isn't correct. We need to say, Lord, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Help me to be more like you. So the transformative discovery there is that prayer has to do, especially in the Old Testament, with judging ourselves. Did you guys know that? Or is that new? That's new. Okay, I like new things. So instead of just, you know, raising our hands and saying, God, I'm so good, I'm so amazing, and you're going to give me all these things because of how good I am, how about be like in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. That's David. That's the very end of that psalm where he's just saying, you know, he's the one who's saying, if I made my bed in hell, you're there. If I'm in the mountains, you're there. He's declaring that God knew him before he was in his mother's womb. He's declaring all these truths. And yet at the very end, he says, now search me, O God, and see if there's any wrong ways in me. See if there's anything that's going to keep your best from happening in my life, or that I'm going to harm somebody because of the way I act. That's quite a different prayer, isn't it? But that is part of the attitude of prayer that we need to have, a humility, a transparency. That's kind of what was happening last night at the prayer. It was like we were being transparent and being vulnerable. And as that happened, we would pray then about that vulnerability, and we would agree with each other, and healing came, you know. It was kind of like James, where it says, confess your faults one to another. And that prayer of faith brings healing, restoration. Praise God. Huh? We had praise reports too. Yes, Miriam has been fighting health issues, and she said that her health has been so much better as we've been praying. So praise God for that. Amen? Amen. So here's a great picture of a woman devoted to prayer, seeking the Lord. You know, she's in her prayer closet, you know, and she's pursuing God. And it says, let us therefore confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. This is Hebrews 4:16. It's a great verse to remember. A lot of times when I start my prayer, you probably heard, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. Why? Because we have access. That tells me when I'm starting my prayer, I'm going to the one that has the answers. I'm going to the one who's my Father, and he's ready to hear my heart, especially when I'm interceding for somebody else. So in the New Testament, this word prayer is prosyuke. It's kind of different pronounced. Prosyuke. There we go. Prosyuke. Say it with me. Prosyuke. No, nobody did it. 1, 2, 3. Prosyuke. Okay. That way I'm not saying it all on my own. The literal meaning is a prayer of God. So that's what it means. But since God does not pray, except the Lord, of course, when he was here on this earth, it's a prayer to God. And we see 6:12, Jesus going and praying to the Father all night long, generally and in an absolute sense. But there's a transformative discovery that I believe this, just as we learned that in the Old Testament, that it had to do with us judging ourselves in prayer, that it also is a truth that we can pick up here in the New Testament that will maybe help us understand a little bit more depths of what's happening when we're praying, or how we should approach position-wise our prayer. The prefix pros is critical in Greek. It conveys not just proximity, but directional intimacy. The kind of closeness expressed in John 1:1, where it says the Word was with God. In other words, Jesus was with God, because we know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that was Jesus. The Word was with God. In other words, that word pros means that literally Jesus faced God. Jesus had face, intimate face-to-face before he was even the Christ here in the Messiah. Prayer is not throwing words into the air. It is
directed, intentional movement of the soul toward the living God in his very presence. So, you know, this woman is seeking the Lord, and she's I hope coming confidently before the throne of grace, as it says there. But in full essence, what's taking place, and maybe she doesn't realize it, is that, therefore, let's confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. Hebrews 4:16. So it's the same scripture, but do you see what's happened? It's a revelation that she's not just talking in her room to God like through some kind of conduit. She's literally face to face. So when we approach God in prayer, we're coming to his throne. We're coming before him. We're coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're having audience with the greatest king there's ever been. And we have free access. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of his torn flesh. Because of what he did on the cross. We have full access to God. We don't have to start with the page and be announced, oh, Mike Lindell's coming in. Are you going to allow him to come in? No, I have free access. I always think of it this way. How many of you are kids, children, at one point or another in your life? Have you ever gone back to your family's house? I know Tim does this. And you go into the house and you're saying, Mom and Dad, maybe you don't live there now. Maybe you still do live there. And you just walk up and you just grab whatever's in the fridge. Sometimes it's something Dad or Mom has set aside for themselves. But you like it too. And you just help yourself to it. And they go, hey, what are you doing? I'm hungry. That's the kind of access we have to the Father. We have an open door policy with God. Do you realize that? Anytime, day or night, 24/7. You can't always catch me because I'm a heavy sleeper. I have my watch on and it should ring if someone I know calls through. But I might sleep through it, but God won't. He's never sleeping. He's never slumbering. He's there ready to hear your cry. Praise the Lord. So the transformative thoughts toward prayer need to be from the Old Testament. Biblical prayer is not primarily about getting things from God. Can be, but it's not primarily. It is about kneeling before God and allowing him to examine and reorder our hearts. This just reminds me of Jesus in the garden. Father, oh, please let this cup pass me. I do not want to go to the cross. Yeah, if there's another way, if you've got a plan B, come on now. But he aligned his heart in the garden. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He surrendered to that will because he was allowing the Father to help him through that moment. And then from the New Testament, every act of prosuke, there we go, thank you. We're probably still butchering it, but it's okay. Of prayer is a deliberate, see, deliberate, what does that mean? That means you're purposefully doing this, turning the whole person toward God, a posture and position before. It's a position, petition. I love that. It's a posture and a position before God before you even petition. In other words, you're changing your perspective of where you're at when you're praying, where your heart is when you're praying. You're changing that. Praise the Lord. What? Premeditated prayer, exactly. So John Chrysostom is, I think that's how you pronounce it, Chrysostom, something like that. He has an old-fashioned name. He says this, though, about prayer. It's taught that the prayer is the mother of all virtues. Now, virtues, we don't use that often anymore, but it's godly character. It's a godly image. It's compassion and love and grace and mercy. Those are virtues. And he's saying that prayer is necessary for those things to be birthed in you. I would say that that's probably true. You say, well, Pastor, what about the Word? Because the Word, you know, you can get that in you. Yeah, the Word is great, but if it's not lit up with the Holy Spirit, which comes from intimacy and relationship with God, it can be dry. And even though it's truth and it can produce things in you, it's not going to be the true fruit of what I believe God wants to do. And then he also said that it's the soul's breathing. Wow, what a way to express it. The soul's breathing. I like to think of this, that the Word is like our food. So you say the Bible is like our food. It's what we eat. But prayer is how we breathe. Can you guys go without a breath? We can go without food sometimes, right? I think prayer needs to be a center of our lives. Lord, help it become a center of our lives. On prayer described by Augustine, he says it's the lifting of the heart lifting up of the heart to God. In other words, you're lifting your heart and you're saying, God, help this heart to become your heart. Help this heart to become healed. Help this heart to become whole. Does your heart ever get like corrupted with life? Does your heart ever get heavy with things that happen? Lift it up before God. Lord, I'm giving you my heart. Heal my heart. Do something so supernatural, Lord, that when people see me, they won't recognize me anymore because you did something so significant in my heart. And then Anathia says this, that the prayers are a participation in the Trinity of God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. What does this mean? It means that we pray to the Father. Did you guys know that? You can pray to Jesus. Jesus, in Matthew 1, is the everlasting Father. So, I mean, I don't think Holy Spirit gets upset when you're praying to Jesus or the Father gets upset. I think they're just glad that you're looking to it. But ultimately, we're praying to the Father. And the beauty of this is that the prayer is addressed to the first person of the Trinity, the Father. And then we pray through the Son. Who's our mediator? John 14, Jesus says, listen, ask anything in my name and you'll get it. He told his disciples that. I believe he's telling us the same thing. And then we pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, lives in us. And so when we pray, our prayers are within the spiritual realm of God. Our spirit is praying. Sometimes you think, well, it's just my soul. It's just my mind. No. Your mind is only something that's giving you information that you need to then bring by your spirit to God. Your spirit is the part that's fully alive in God. I'm telling you, your soul is just like the middleman. Your flesh can drive your soul or your spirit can drive your soul. You know, if you're feeding your flesh all the time, your soul is going to be following him. If you're feeding your spirit all the time, your mind, will, and emotions can be following your spirit. I always love that saying. It's what dog you feed. And then with that being said, when we pray, we are not knocking on a closed door. Remember I said it's open door. We have an open door policy with God. We are entering a conversation that the Trinity has already begun on our behalf. What do you think it means when he says he knows we're going to pray before we pray? Some people say, well, if he knows what I'm going to pray, then why do I need to pray? Why do I need to open my mouth? Why do I need to take the time on a Saturday night and drive, you know, 30 minutes out to Tim and Vicky's house to pray? I could pray anywhere. Yes, you can. But something happens when you purposely, deliberately go to a place of prayer. Something happens when you go to your inner room and you pray. Something happens when you go out for a walk and you say, I'm departing from my phone, from my other noises, and I'm seeking you. It's like, says this very clearly, if we draw near to him, what? He draws near to us. And we drew near to him last night, and what? He drew near to us. Praise God. So, you get one more. I'm going to click on this so I can see this. Oops, sorry. Hang on here. Prayer is a precious gift and opportunity made possible through what Jesus has done for us. As mortals, we are invited into deep, intimate communion with the creator of the universe, the one who made all things and who created us. We have the privilege of bringing our requests and needs before his throne in the heavenly realms. And in the process, we are transformed into his image and likeness. And that's Mike Lindell, 3:29-26. That's my definition of prayer. It could be as simple as talking to God. But let's not miss the dynamics of what are taking place. That we, as supernatural individuals, with the life of God and the Holy Spirit in us, are able to move heaven and earth by our declares, by declarations, by our requests. I believe God, for whatever reason, made it so that man is a necessary part in accomplishing his will here on earth. It's part of that very first request he gave to Adam: have dominion over this thing that I've created. You have charge. And I don't think it's ever changed. So our prayers have power because of that call that we have. So just don't think that, oh, well, you know, pastor can pray. He gets paid to pray. I don't get paid to pray, but some people believe that. Or he's been called to pray. Now, some people are called to be intercessors. My poor wife, she's been called to be an intercessor. And God wakes her up sometimes at 3 a.m. in the morning, and she's praying hours for somebody. And that's just a calling on her life. I've had calls and seasons where I've interceded for people, especially as things are on my heart. But we're all called to pray. We're all called to seek the Lord. We're all called to be houses of prayer. So if you would, with me, stand, and we're going to go through a little exercise. Have any of you ever said the Pledge of Allegiance when you were a kid? And what did you do? Most of the time, put your hand on your heart. Why did you do that? Because they told you to, right? Okay, so I'm telling you, put one hand on your heart today. And what we're going to do with this, I want us, remember what it said, we're bringing our hearts? I want us to just start focusing on that this is the place, even though it may be somewhere else in our being, but it says in our hearts, we have Jesus in our hearts. This is a place where he dwells. And now take your other hand, though. We're going to double now. We're going to do one more. And just put your hand there and just be quiet for a moment. Just realize that the God who created everything is living inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for abiding in us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as we stand here right now, I just ask that you would make every prayer that we pray significant in our lives from this moment on. That we would be aware that we are in your very presence right now. That the angels of God are worshiping you around your throne. The creatures, four living creatures circling you, saying, holy, holy, holy. We're there right now. We're in your very presence. And Lord, we just want to be the people that you've called us to be. And we know that prayer is part of that. So Lord, we surrender our hearts. We surrender our time. We surrender every part of us that is necessary to become houses of prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Sing, I wasn't made to be.
And I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. Yeah, I was made for more. So why would I make
Supernatural empowerment from God to be who you're called to be. And I'll be praying for that to take place in your life. I'll be praying that the fullness of His presence would be so restful and abundant in your life that it just spills out on others. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, invite somebody next week for Easter Sunday. Please join us downstairs for some food, because it's my birthday. Love to have you. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.